I want to introduce myself a little, and some of you are familiar with what I do, but some of you have not experienced it, so and others you have. So I just want to give you a little rundown of that, and then I want to talk about who this Ascended Master is and what this topic is, and then we'll just kind of get into it. So just talk for a few minutes. So what I do is I'm an astrologer, a medium, and a channel. And the main thing that I do is to help people figure out what their souls are here to do. That's the main thing. And then what impediments, what behaviors, what histories, what beliefs, what emotions, you know, what relationships get in the way of that now, and how can we smooth that out? So I started working with this being who's known as Thoth and Saint Germain, and I call him Jehudi. Jehudi is an Egyptian name for him. I started working with him. He was my astrology tutor for several years. And I was asking questions about soul that none of the people I was studying astrology with could answer. So this voice kind of came from the distance, and I was like, that sounds true. And then it feels true, and then I kind of developed this relationship with him. He is absolutely no nonsense, and his primary thing is to support us in evolution, whatever it is that we need. So any human can go to him with any question, and he will work to help that person answer that question. So he's a neutral figure, and then he'll answer anything for anybody. And so some people are afraid of him and say, you shouldn't work with him because he's evil, you know, because they're afraid of the fact that humans have free will, right? But he's just like whatever a human needs, because every human is a part of the divine plan. Every human is a part of the source of all that is, and we're all evolving. So I really enjoy working with him. I find it very gratifying because it doesn't matter what the question is, there's a helpful, grounded, calming answer about the bird's eye view on a situation. Over the last year, I've been channeling him directly pretty frequently, including a couple of books that I've typed or recorded and had transcribed, and also recording MP3s, and now I'm bringing him through in client sessions. And so, you know, I'm letting people develop a relationship with him. And you met him recently. You met him in your last coaching session. For the first time, you've been coaching with me for a couple months. But that was the first time kind of he came through directly. And so my clients are starting to get to know him a little bit. And it's very important because this perspective that he offers can help us shift into this giant evolutionary process that we're being nudged, pushed, dragged, or shoved into right now. That everybody's got stuff coming up, you know? And so he's, as far as I'm concerned, a very valuable resource. So I'm going to be doing these probably monthly here at my house, little evenings like this for like a half dozen people to open it up. And I'm also going on tour in July up and down the West Coast to do events for like 10 to 20 people at a time just to reach out and in like 8 different cities. So as I said, I call him Jehudi. It's kind of his Egyptian name, also known as Thoth, which is the Greek name for him, and then Saint Germain. Most people know him as Thoth and Saint Germain. Thoth, for me, tends to be a little more academic. Saint Germain tends to be just this violet light, this you know, violet flame of compassion that can transmute suffering and pain into love and acceptance and compassion. And as I work with him as Jehudi, all of these faces coexist and kind of one, you'll notice that he'll talk about compassion, and then later he'll talk about the truth of why something's happening. And most people would access him on these different channels, but the way I do it is kind of all at once. So I'll give you a couple of brief notes, and then we'll just get in a space and have him come in. He calls me Seth, and he refers to me that way quite a bit. And so he'll say things like, ask Seth later for tips on this. So when that happens, he's talking about me. There are times when he will ask if there are questions, and please feel free. And my eyes will probably be closed, and so what I'd like for you to do is say, hey, Jehudi, or hey, Tom, this is, you know, so-and-so, I do have a question. And so that works, because raising your hand, nobody will know.
What does he call you, Seth?
That is a name that vibrates better with my quote-unquote true essence.
Okay, I was just known that there's a series of books.
I know the set materials.
Yeah, so I was kind of curious if that had anything to do with
that. No, it's different. It's different. It's I mean, some of that material and what he brings through, what he offers, is overlaps because it's channels of truth. But yeah, it's different. It's that my so to speak, my spiritual name is Seth Adams.
Okay.
Yeah, and so non-corporeal beings know me that way. So I am going to invite you to keep your eyes closed so that you can really experience the vibration. You know, when we stop the linear logical mind, we experience things in a different way, and so that's really what we want to do today. Okay. So I want to do a little meditation first. So just get comfortable and let your body be relaxed. But if there's some things that maybe are not fully relaxed, that's okay. Just notice it and be with it for a moment. Yes, of course. So just notice and be with what's going on in your body. And let your breathing be relaxed. And if you can let go of tension, if there's tension in your body that's ready to be let go, please do so gently on each exhale. And feel for a moment what it is like to be in your body. Just check in with your feet and your hands and your back. Maybe shift your weight so you can feel your body a little differently. And just be aware of it. Because this evening, I'll be sponsoring a vibration for you that can help some things in your body get some, perhaps, attention that might be needed regarding the topic. Send cords from your root chakra and your feet down into the earth and connect to the earth and breathe energy in through these cords into your body. And then breathe the energy back out to the earth from your body on your exhale. We'll do this for a few seconds. And this is what is called grounding. We want you to be able to receive this vibration, and we cannot do so until we are grounded. So hello, this is the Ascended Master Jehudi speaking. You call me an Ascended Master, and yet I wish to introduce myself as more of my true nature, to explain to you who I really am. And there is a whole cadre of Ascended Masters that you may access for different purposes while you are embodied. They hang around to help you and assist you in whatever way that you need. Each one has a particular job. The job that I have is to support what is called the unfolding of the divine plan. And this is the evolution of divinity while perceiving itself as separate. So each of you is a sliver of divinity, the divine intelligence, or as I often refer to it, all that is. And you come here and choose to temporarily forget your true nature so that you may learn what it is like to live here. When I hang around Earth and I'm available to help you, it is to support your evolution in any way that you need. I have been labeled a scribe, a messenger, a teacher, a mediator, and other functions that revolve around communication and building bridges. So as I come through this channel this evening and at other times, I seek to relate to you a perspective that is, so to speak, a bird's eye view on a situation that humanity has created that has brought difficulty to you. This topic this evening is about becoming whole regarding masculine and feminine. This is a gargantuan topic, and yet I will lead you into the core of it over the next couple of hours or so, and explain to you why humanity has created this situation that has affected every living being for thousands and thousands of years. When we speak about the imbalance between masculine and feminine. You can see this evidenced in every part of life. Probably many parts of your life, but as you look around in the world around you, it is evidenced in every single part of life. How relationships happen, how social institutions are formed and maintained and upheld. Everything that happens in workplace politics and in politics in your governments. Where money goes, who is deemed to deserve what when. All of this has been grown out of the imbalance between masculine and feminine. I wish to point out to you that the perspective of feminism, which has arisen during the decade of the 1970s on Earth, had a component of anger to it. This was important because it was necessary for people to put their foot down about how things were working between men and women. And yet I encourage you now to leave behind the anger in every way that you can. What I wish to impart to you tonight is intended to support you in leaving behind anger at the imbalance between masculine and feminine on your planet, in your society, and your lives. And leave behind anger. It is time that you accept the truth of why you have created it. And once you can see this perspective, this context, you can accept the purpose that this species, which is to say, portions of all that is, which is to say the divine intelligence, why it has created this. So that is where we are headed tonight. I want to alert you to watch, to observe with compassion and detachment any and all parts of you that do have anger about experiences you have had, whether this is in relationship, whether it regards sexuality in general, whether it has to do with social equality or inequality, or the kinds of ways that your parents have trained you because of your gender, and how that could have been unfair in many ways, or in every way. So I want you to observe anger if you have it, and I want you to keep it where it is, so that you may take in the perspective that I am going to share with you. I wish for you to take in the entire picture. And to essentially make it fair for yourself to be able to do so in letting your anger be where it is and not letting it well up within you and take over your mind at this moment while we are together tonight. The bird's eye view of the diminishment of the feminine, where the feminine is deemed less important than the masculine. The bird's eye view is that it is in essence, in truth, in fact, an escalation or an emphasis of the masculine. Many times, the numbers of humans longingly wish for the time before the patriarchy was instituted. And many people on Earth now have the perception that everything was wonderful under matriarchy. Well, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. And yet, any archy is an issue. It is a problem. Because it does not reflect true balance. How the feminine under the matriarchy functioned in regards to treating the masculine was indeed different than the reverse. But it is not completely in balance. It was important to come out of this, what we can call matriarchy, because humanity, needed to make a decision about who it was. Just think about that for a moment. The species made a decision about its true nature. This is who we are. Prior to this, being connected to the earth, being connected to the cycles and processes of nature, was very natural to fit into the processes of nature. And yet, there was a growing discomfort in feeling subject to the whims of nature. And essentially, this decision was rooted in a gut-level knowing that you did not deserve to be treated poorly by nature. So you then decided to take over. This mother of yours was no longer seeming to be protective of you. Now, what has actually happened when this occurred is that you decided you were better than other animals. And you looked around and said, yes, well, all the birds and all the fish and all the other animals, yes, well, they are subject to the whims of nature because they are not bright. And they do not possess language, and they cannot fashion the world around them. And they do not have free will, was one of the perceptions. But we are better. So this elevation of the masculine is an expression of will. This assertion, I have the right to decide who I am. We have the right to decide who we are. So this is very important in the evolution of humanity, because you essentially had to come out of this harmonious state in which very little happened and your will was not engaged. You were not in touch with the fact that you were powerful divine creators. You were not able to tap into the incredible repository of power that exists when you make choices for yourself. This was not happening. You were in harmony, and in some ways it had you in a very receptive, passive state where you felt wonderful being governed by the mother until you made this decision not to be. As you look around in your world and you see the feminine being diminished, try on for size. The fact that the diminishment of the feminine is in fact a byproduct of the elevation of the masculine. Each of you has lived many lives on the Earth timeline, which is to say your past lives, affected entirely by this situation, this diminishment, this elevation. The masculine principle of action has been valued, and the feminine principle of reception or passivity has not been valued. And each of you carries a great deal of pain about this situation, about having experienced it. And I'm aware of this. And yet my invitation, as always, is to acknowledge this the feelings that you do have, and then to take in this bird's eye view to understand why you have created it. Each of you, as a part of the divine intelligence, a portion of all that is responsible for this state of affairs. So I always invite you to make peace with your creation so that you may put your creative energies toward manifesting, creating something that works better for you. The passivity that you embodied when in these wonderful times living in harmony with the earth led to a pendulum swing the other way, to this control-oriented dynamic in which you are living today as a collective. Many individuals have pulled away from this way of being. Connecting with the earth, our channeling goddess energy, etc., are bringing the feminine through art and sexuality and relationships and the way that they raise their children. Many, many are doing this. And yet the collective mud patch still has many people with one foot stuck in it. And as I said, you have been shaped over time by these experiences, and so you will be carrying past life memories within your energy field now of the difficulties between men and women, masculine and feminine, regardless of which side you end up on in this experience. experience. You have many lives as men, each of you. You have many lives as women. And you do this in order to learn all that you can learn about what it is to be human in various social, political, economic, and family contexts. So as I speak to you now, in this room there are three men and there are three women, and yet each of you has lived many lives as one gender and then the other, back and forth, back and forth. When we speak about the diminishment of the feminine, this is usually all we see. We talk about feminism. Let's talk about this for a moment. The anger that has, in some ways, defined feminism, though it did, of course, mutate into a more academic discussion, but it is still informed by an anger. When you are angry, you are expressing powerlessness. And in this cultural context, when you are angry at individuals and institutions that represent the patriarchy, that bring the elevation of the masculine as the directive of the day, when you aim anger towards them, you are fighting fear with fear. You are fighting fear with disempowerment. So what I invite each human to do is to take responsibility for having created this, to see this big picture, and then to see in what ways, regarding your individual daily, day-to-day life, you can change this. As I said, many of you have made wonderful progress doing this, and yet there are always more things to do, especially as a collective learns from itself and from each other. So the more you fine-tune your process, the more this energetically affects other people who need to wake up and learn it, and who, in time, do wake up and learn it. Every time you are inspired to respond with anger to some situation regarding men and women, regarding these roles that have been set up for you, regarding the economics and politics of sex and sexuality and gender, catch yourself. Understand that if you respond with anger, you are allowing your creative energy to dissipate because of a fearful emotion. Objectivity is called for. Being extremely clear about what exactly is happening, and then being clear about what exactly is your choice in any given situation. This is my invitation to you. So please observe where you are angry. It is, of course, natural to hear of somebody being, for example, hurt, a woman being hurt by a man, or a part of the earth being hurt by a corporation, and to have anger. And yet I wish for you to come out of anger and to direct your energies intentionally instead of spilling them in anger. Over the course of these millennia, marriage, sexuality have become controlled by those who control things. The reason that your marriage has been shaped the way it has, your institution, is to control the passing of property through male lines. It is very important to observe the biological reality. That conception in the human species occurs within the body of one of the two kinds of people. This is a critical fact that is shaped 6,000 years of Earth history. With the rise of the masculine, emphasizing the masculine, it became important for a man to know who his children are. And he could not control this. He could not know who his children are, precisely, unless he shamed a woman's natural sexuality. This is the basis of your marriage. This is the basis of this institution that holds your society together. It is about a fear that a man otherwise would not know who his children are, and so the passage of property could fall apart. Therefore, the stability of power in the culture would fall apart. your entire culture is built on this patriarchal thinking. And as you change individually, you begin to destroy the patriarchy bit by bit. And it does not have to be through anger, as I have said. You making a decision to fashion, for example, marriage in the way that works for you, to perhaps, let us say, take vows in a legal way, and yet write your own commitments and work with your partner to create an institution within your home that reflects your true natures individually and together. You take back the power from the patriarchy. Now, I do not wish to speak about the patriarchy as a big, black, evil thing that is standing against you. It is your creation. It is what you have created in order to live through, to learn about what it is like when you make a decision based, make a decision about your true nature based in one part of you. And when you make a decision about who you are, that reflects fear that you are not loved by life in the universe. And so we can see that the entire patriarchy, and then marriage being an outgrowth of this, it is about a fear that nature does not take care of you. How can I know if that baby is mine? Well, in one sense, it doesn't matter, because that baby is here. But the patriarchal mindset is that it matters. How can I know these children are mine? So it is a very simple fact that has determined this reality, and it is that the conception takes place entirely within the woman's body. And it is not clear if a woman honors herself, her sexual nature, and she honors the biological imperatives that she experiences surrounding conception. She, as many other animals, would be inclined to have many partners in a short period of time to ensure that the best swimmers win. And so this had to be stopped. This had to be stopped. And marriage is a tool to shame natural human sexuality, so that sexuality becomes used for procreation and procreation only. But then the reality of your animal natures exists, it persists. So there are dark corners where natural sexuality can be expressed. And this is what you would call the sex trade on your planet, which is affecting unbelievable numbers of humans on a minute-to-minute basis. All of you who have observed the difficulties that result from different issues, different realities that have to do with what we call, what people call the sex trade, all these businesses that capitalize on sexual human urges. These gets a lot of media attention and is about to get much more media attention, specifically with an addiction to pornography issue that is all over the place. How many people in this culture have an addiction to these images? This can be eradicated by simply admitting who you really are, by an individual simply admitting who he or she really is, and reclaiming a powerful relationship with one's body and one's sexuality from the culture shapers who have told you that it is wrong to feel what you feel and to want what you want, to feel good about what you feel good. So any and all of these things, marriage, pornography, addiction, all of these things which are results of patriarchal conditioning and the imbalance between the masculine and feminine, the degradation of the feminine and the elevation and idealization of the masculine, each of these giant complex issues can be eroded. one person at a time. One person at a time. One person at a time making a choice to honor him or herself in a new way. To look with honesty at his or her own true nature. And then to make a decision about how he or she will proceed with his or her life. And relationships, and work, and sexuality, and all of it. On the face of it, it can be disempowering to look at the scope of this problem. On one hand, we see these generations of people, generations reaching back of this control over sexuality, control over hearts and minds, telling people who they are, what they should be experiencing, and that they should, determining their nature for them, telling them this is who you are supposed to be. And it can seem out of control. It is too big to work with. And yet, every choice that a person makes now is an expression of this divine power that changes things. So I hope this is a little encouraging for you, because all of us look at this situation in our culture. We wonder, how could this possibly change? The way that we are treating the earth is killing us. The way that people are eating is killing us. How people are treating each other in the bedroom are killing their spirits in some ways. We need more responsibility for our bodies and our earth and each other and children and all these things that can seem out of control. And many humans want to do something about this, and so I wish to inform you the first place to begin is with yourself. So why did this happen? Why has this imbalance come about? I will repeat that. It is so you could learn about what it is to make a decision about your true nature. To make a decision about your nature, forgetting your true nature. We are in control. We are fashioning the world around us however we wish. And this pendulum swing into control-oriented behaviors does not work either. And so where are we now? You are on the cusp of seeing what balance looks like. This is why the channel Seth and I are offering this event for you tonight. To put this history in context, but also to discuss what comes next. When we speak about natural masculine energy and natural feminine energy, these two complementary energies, they are the only two energies that exist. Masculine energy is active. Feminine energy is passive. Each human contains each energy, regardless of the body type that has been chosen by the soul for any particular life. Broken down in this way, everything becomes very simple. When you act, you're displaying masculine energy. When you receive, or you wait, or you are flexible and you're open to receive, you are displaying feminine energy. The elevation of the masculine has many humans conditioned to judge being receptive. Because what is valuable in that schema is activity. How many times over the last few years have you come up against a question within yourself? And you hear a part of yourself saying, just wait and see. Just wait. How difficult has that been to do? How frustrating has that been? When it has been frustrating, it is a reflection of the fact that you have been conditioned in this hyper-masculine culture. As if it were possible to edit out half of your true nature. On the individual level, how it is that one can come back into balance in a more conscious way, instead of swinging back and forth between active and passive, or active and open, and swinging back and forth. This is what most people do. Most people believe that they have to act and they must be in action. But then there are times when they have to wait, and so they must wait. They must receive something and they must be patient. The vision that I wish to impart to you about how to move forward more consciously is to get to know your active and passive sides, and to be honest about who they are, to be honest about what they're about and what they need and how they operate. So to take a survey of what is it that inspires you to act? What is it that you understand clearly that you need to not act? And then re-engineering your life from the inside out based on this self-knowledge. But also there's an issue of allowing the flow to take place within you. For most humans, recapturing the willingness to flow with anything is a major healing the feminine event. There is always something wrong and something needs fixed. Something needs doing, somebody needs calling. Something has to happen all the time. And this is the sickness that comes with the imbalance, with the elevation of the masculine. There is not enough time because of all the things that we need to get done. So introducing a flow of, well, what is it that I really need in this moment? And whatever it is you come up with, honoring it, this is how you can come back into balance. What is it that I need? Do I need to be in action right now? Or do I need not to be? This is a prescription for daily living. Where you might find parts of yourself in conflict when it comes to this question. This is where you are invited to decondition from the patriarchy in specific ways. For example, you might feel that something needs to get done, but your body says, rest today. But you might come back with, or part of you might say, yes, but these are the 7 reasons this thing must get done. And your body says, yes, I see this, but I'm exhausted and I'm not being cared for. And then you must confront your conditioning that says that it is more important to accomplish things than to care for yourself. This is what I mean. How you treat your body is how you treat the earth. Your physical bodies are extensions of the earth. And for the time that you are in a body, that you are attached to a body, your soul is, your soul is an extension of the soul of the earth. To come back to your earth as your mother, to reopen the relationship that was, for the most part, destroyed 6,000 years ago. You must surrender certain things. You must surrender an idea of who you are. It does not matter what idea you may carry, you must surrender it. I invite each and every one of you to get to know the earth in a very direct way and to come to know yourself as an extension of the earth, particularly. And to let the wisdom of the earth be your wisdom. At the beginning of this session this evening, when I asked you to put cords into the earth from your root chakra in the bottoms of your feet, this is a first step. Grounding to this energy of the earth, being conscious of this. Because 6,000 years ago, you made the decision that she was no longer a benevolent mother. As a collective, you decided that she was not looking out for you. And look at what is happening in your hearts right now as a result of this separation. So each of you must do this. You can do this in groups. If it suits you, you can do it individually. but you must surrender all ideas of who you are, all ideas of who you should be, or who you would be only if, etc. You must come into close connection with who you actually are. And the earth will tell you. The earth, as your divine mother, is still looking out for you. And yet you are subject to natural law. So you must also give up the idea that you might be better than other animals. And I want even the most evolved of you to look within, to thought patterns and beliefs that have been shaped over time about this issue. Because many, many of you, simply because of the fact that you think, do have an opinion about the other animals. One of the major sorts of events that contributed to this choice of yours to divorce yourself from your mother was the existence of violent weather events, earth changes, that left you feeling not safe. And this led to the divorce from your mother. It led to the elevation of the masculine in order to attempt to protect yourselves. So you did not any longer have to feel subject to the whims of nature. The truth is that weather happens. It is not personal. And when you experience loss through tragic weather events, this is not the world speaking to you. This is not God speaking to you. This is not God is telling you who you really are, that you deserve to be hurt. It is simply a truth that as a being on the earth, you are subject to what happens on the earth. Now many of you might say, but of course I don't think that. But I also want you to understand that you have many lives fearing what the earth might do to you. Perhaps living in a village where a volcano erupts nearby. But perhaps you saw it coming. But it was impractical to leave. Or you knew it was building, but you didn't know when. Or living in a place where floods happen periodically, but you don't know when. Living in agrarian societies where weeks of rain can ruin your livelihood for the year and the health of the community, the availability of food. So you have many lives living in fear of what the earth might do to you. And so I wish that you let this go. Each of you, even those who are particularly emotionally, mentally, spiritually evolved, and you say, oh, I don't have any opinions about the earth like that. Each of you has experiences developing opinions such as these. So as you unwind any ideas about being better than the other animals, you align yourself more closely with natural law. When you are aligned with natural law, the truth of how things unfold on this planet, you accept that you are a part of the system of life that is the Earth. And many people have called it Gaia or Gaia. That you are part of this living, breathing organism made up of billions of organisms and the planet itself. When you are in touch with natural law, you listen to what your body tells you. You listen to what animals tell you. You listen to what foods your body wants. You listen to when it is appropriate for you to seek sexual communion with another and when it is not. You treat the earth in a different way. You honor the cycles of nature. You allow the cycles of nature in you and in others and in animals to exist. You do not try to control everything. so far have covered quite a lot of ground in different topics. This situation, this being out of balance that you have been living through, takes so many forms. Almost anything that is out of balance in your life can be traced back to this. I wish to speak for a moment about food. What does your body need on any given day? What does it ask for? The first step, of course, would be to know, to be in a state of receptivity to the fact of what your body is asking you for. Each of you has the experience of thinking you want something and putting a small portion of it in your mouth and being very clear that it is not what you wanted. And it is not about the taste. It is about the feeling that your body says, oh, this is not right. So each of you could do a great service to yourself by, on a daily basis, every time you approach food, to approach it in terms of what your body wants, what your body needs. This is healing the feminine. Listening to your body. All of these different routes exist to healing the feminine. To not diminishing the masculine, but bringing these two back into an appropriate balance. Almost anything you could say is out of balance is related to this. At this time, I would like to give you the opportunity to ask questions about the material that I have covered thus far. So please, if you do have a question, say your first name and say, yes, I have a question, and I will address you.
This is Oliver.
Yes, Oliver, please go ahead.
I was wondering if there are specific remedies for balancing the masculine and feminine in Tucson that are specific to what just the dynamic here in Tucson.
In Tucson. Is it a very specific sort of scenario in Tucson? With the way that the earth speaks. It is almost as though it is a certain set of dialects that are very specific. So many people coming to this place can feel as though they're, you know, say somebody from Michigan in the United States, finding yourself in the deep south in Alabama, and saying, yes, I have to ask a question of this person who lives down the street, this person who works at the store. And the communication isn't a dialect. Maybe there's an accent the person cannot understand. So in that case, we would have the person perhaps slow down, stop, to hear the different information. So the process in Tucson is not any different. But the process of an individual becoming able to hear what is actually happening is actually a unique process. So yes, Oliver, it is not the that there is a different process, it is that it's communicated can seem very different in Tucson. Do you have a more specific question about your experience, or was it just general?
It was more, I'm interested in the perception of what needs to come into balance in Tucson compared, just in general, not necessarily for me. Well, let's say for me and for the people who are choosing to be here.
Now, there is something about heat when it is dry that can seem to slow you down, and yet it is active, just causing you to do, to escape it, or to figure out how to remedy it. Part of the energetic landscape of Tucson has much to do with the heat and the relative scarcity of water. How much water you experience can affect your level of receptivity. have to, of living in a dry place can lead a person to forget to be receptive. So you see where I'm going with this. It is not about what the place needs, but I'm talking about the people who live here. You see that? Some of the people who are drawn to live in this place need to dry out energetically, which is to say emotionally. But I invite all people who live here to be conscious of the relative absence of water. Because water is a reminder of receptivity, which is the feminine. People who live in this place for a very long time can, over long periods of time, overlook certain modes of receptivity because there is this ever-present dry that determines much of what happens here. So what is needed in Tucson? That for the people to always remember what it is that they need, for the people to always be conscious of what their bodies are telling them, other than it's very hot here, so that they can stay in touch with what they need on all levels. And the body simply is a vehicle for communicating what is happening physically, but also in other ways, if you understand this. Does that answer your question? Do you feel complete with that question? It's okay.
I'm also curious about when energy is released here, healed in some way, where it doesn't feel like it goes into the earth the way it does in other locations.
I see.
When I was in Oregon, it was very
Yes, well, in some ways it will go to the mountainous regions before it comes into here. Have the image of the an energy that you release might not go straight into the earth, but might travel a ways and then go into the earth. Yes, it is a very different place than where you were speaking about, the other place. Very different. Are there other questions, or do you? What was that? Yes. Are there other questions? It can be about a personal process, or it can be about all we have spoken about, or what this material perhaps stirs in you, or is there something that you would like some guidance on?
This is Sharon Irene.
Yes.
A question. How does homosexuality come into play in balancing the masculine and feminine?
Ah, yes. From the soul's perspective, I will speak from different areas of this. From the soul's perspective, there are many reasons why homosexuality is experienced as a part of the makeup, part of the nature. Mostly, or I should say in many ways, it can be a reflection of political situations over many lives, where in the path for every human to learn about what love is, there are many times when it is inappropriate to love, for example, someone of the same sex. So these become political issues, you see. It begins with love, and then it is shaped by politics, and religion and fear, but politics. And so one of the reasons that a human incarnates and experiences the inner nature of homosexuality is to go against the grain in order to honor what love truly is. And there are also many, many kinds of contracts between souls where they seek to love each other. And in one life they are parent and child, in another life they are siblings, in another life they are business associates, In another life, they are uncle and niece, this kind of thing. And in some lives, it is appropriate to have a same-sex union because of the social situation in the family, because it requires each of them to step forward and say, my true nature goes against the prevailing reality, the social reality. And so sometimes it is about bravery, sometimes it is about finding the right heart, finding the right soul. Where in one life, perhaps, gender and DNA and genetics are extremely important through one kind of family. But then for a portion of the life, it is very important to relate to somebody of the same sex in this way. So there is many reasons, almost limitless reasons, almost as many reasons as there are individuals experiencing homosexuality. In some people, it will also be grounds, right, and so to speak, a convenient necessity that, or how do you say this, a reality that is a necessity that turns out to be convenient to rebel against some prevailing authority, to go one's own way, to break family tradition, to acknowledge living differently or as different. So all of these kinds of things can come into play. The basic idea is you are learning about love, just as every other human is. You are learning about love. So, for example, it is the year 2011 on Earth right now, and those people who are homosexual and who are living lives that honor this, say it that way, right? They acknowledge it and they have relationships that honor them and their true nature, this kind of thing. There is less, in some ways, relative to other parts of human history, of a conflict. Everybody knows people now who are homosexual. So it is not always as dark of a secret, for example, as it has been in some other Earth cultures. And so now, in this life, being alive in 2011, perhaps a person has chosen this as part of their nature in order to increase the awareness level of other people. But it isn't quite the big dark secret, and it perhaps is less dangerous than at other times lived along the Earth timeline, where homosexuality was punished in overt ways, in very immediate overt ways. So there are many, many reasons, and each case is worth looking at, but the bottom line will be, this is a soul that is learning about what love is, just as every other soul is. Yeah. Do you have another question about this? Okay, well, feel free to come back. But that is the headline for you. That is the overview. You're welcome. Yes, it is a very rich topic, because when a person looks around at the prevailing social norm and is different, there is obviously a journey of learning difference. And then when that person confronts the issue of opening, how do you say this? Coming out, is how you say it. Yes, acknowledging in an open way the fact of one's sexuality. You know, that then is a journey of standing up in your community and telling people who you are. Well, each of these things, acknowledging difference, and then living through difference and being willing to give the community a chance to acknowledge you as different as well, these are each general human themes. And in one sense, homosexuality is simply one route that these, frankly, generic human themes are played out. Again, just like learning what love is. It's a very generic human theme. Learning what love is, who gets to determine what love looks like? Who is it that gets to determine who loves whom? You know, who can get put on whose health insurance? All these things are normal human questions that homosexuality can be a vehicle to explore. And there are other reasons. I wish to continue this. Sometimes And this this will include some people who are transgender and transvestite, because this is a different situation. These are different situations, and yet this is a very important thing to understand because of the difference that is embodied. But some of these people have memories, have emotional memories that are very present in their fields about being a different gender. And perhaps it was, perhaps they are wonderful memories. And so what it is true is that every human journey can be learned in many different ways. And there are a myriad of themes that could be explored. Perhaps it is bravery and acknowledging the self. Perhaps it is making decisions about one's own sexuality and one's own body. Perhaps it is, you know, this soul-journeying theme that is being learned by the human. Perhaps it is the choice to choose relationships that feel good. There is also something happening on Earth in general, over all of these many years, that you are learning about conformity. We're learning about what it takes to fit in. And there has been a directive to adapt to the group mind in order to do so. And there are times when a soul has a journey to stand out as different. And to say, I cannot deny my true nature, this kind of thing. Yes, there are many, 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 many ways, many reasons that this comes up. But again, it is every human learning about love. What love is, where it comes from, including all the people observing, the people who are, you know, naturally wired as homosexuals. The people observing them, they're also learning what love is, because if they are judging, they're withholding love. They are thereby learning what love is. And if they're supportive, then again, they are learning about what love is, what love looks like, who deserves love, who is to be loved, and why. As each of you has each kind of energy, and then each of you chooses different sorts of bodies, this opens the door to have an incredible, infinite variety of sexual tastes and experiences that you may wish to experience. And it is all in the spirit of learning what love is. Because if you honor the ways that you are different, that you are unique, and that you have, perhaps have appetites that others do not understand, or that others do not want to play with you regarding, you are learning to love yourself by honoring your true nature, even if it is very different from others. Are there other questions about sexuality of any kind of question?
Yeah.
Yes.
This is Jenny.
Thank you, Jenny. Please go ahead.
Okay. So, this is kind of my own personal story. Is
yes.
that right?
Oh, yes, it is.
Okay. So, I have been celibate for the last 6 years. Mm-hmm. And I am married. And I've been working a lot around these issues with myself. I would like to be able to experience a sexual relationship and be whole in myself in that way. And so as I've been working with these issues, I realize that I am not at all sexually attracted to my husband, but yet we're in this marriage bond issue.
Yes.
So I don't know, any insights on that?
Yes, yes, yes. Well, you know, the channel Seth is very familiar with your journey and your chart, as an example. And so I observe what he has observed about your soul's journey, and as I listen to you speak, what I would like to share with you is that you are one of the humans who is learning about what marriage should be. You know, many, many, many humans are learning this. So to begin with, this is something to accept that you are learning. Look at the reasons that you chose to marry this man. And understand that they are wonderful reasons. And yet at the time, you were not as in touch with your true nature. You needed to alter how this part of your life worked, and you needed to be very specific, and you needed to take steps to construct an experience for yourself in order to eventually promote healing, which is what is happening now. Does this make sense to you? So look at the reasons that you have married this individual and accept them as wonderful, because they still are. Yet, your true nature was not as apparent to you. You were not ready. You were not ready to see these truths about yourself and to transition into different ways of being regarding your sexuality out of celibacy. So where you are now can seem an impasse. You are part of several generations of people on the earth, as I said, who are learning about marriage. Well, what should a marriage look like? I invite you to ask yourself and to spend time with. What should a marriage look like? What should it be? What end should it serve? These general sorts of questions first. And then I want you to look at what you want a marriage in which you are part to be, look like, and serve. It is not a given that as you are now prepared to reintegrate this part of yourself and to seek some experiences that involve healing regarding sexuality, but that they do not involve your husband. It is not a given that this marriage will end. I want you to be really honest with yourself and with him about what it is you need, where it is you need to head, what direction. I will guarantee you that because he is in this marriage with you and you are experiencing this, it is his learning as well. This is not to say it will be entirely, 100% painless, but you have signed up together to go through a process of learning about the truth of this. You have made a commitment to each other. And now in one way, Jenny, you are outgrowing this commitment. So now the two of you have an opportunity to reevaluate what it is you are experiencing, to make some choices. And I will tell you also that because of the nature of marriage in this day and age, and the invitations that you have to essentially evolve beyond the control mechanism marriage is intended to be, the two of you are free. The two of you are free to construct what works for you. I feel that I have answered about two-thirds of your question. I would like, you are free to get more specific if you would like. And to put me on the rest of the answer for you.
Let me think about what else I'd like to know.
Okay, take your time.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's very helpful.
You're welcome. Yes, this idea that you are free is critical. Absolutely critical for the two of you to understand. Because again, as humans, you are living many, many earth lives where you are feeling out of control, and you do not have any choice in order to be socially acceptable, in order to have the right kind of job, and therefore to earn money, and have food, and survive, and have children, that you have to have a certain kind of marriage. Well, you are free. In one sense, you are as free as you allow yourself to be from these social constraints and this history of patriarchy. One of the things you, in particular, are experiencing is the weighing of this history on you. You have many lives where you are exploring the right ways to have marriage, but you feel locked into convention. And this life, you are repeating that, and yet you have the choice to free yourself from this convention. Yes. Yes. And you are in it together. Regardless of whether you stay together or you part ways, you are in this process right now. This, coming to make certain assertive statements about what you need and who you are. And you are in this together. He has signed up to witness you grow in this way, and to make a choice about growing with you in that direction, or supporting you in growing in a new direction. Yes. So the more he can remember that he has also constructed this reality, the better off everyone is. Yes. Yes, you can see his karmic journey in a certain light of, I mean, the two of you mirror each other in this way at the weight of history. The weight of the patriarchal expectations. Yeah. So you're invited to free yourself in whatever way works best for you. Yeah. It's an exciting invitation. It's daunting and scary, perhaps, but as I observe you as a human, looking at how to process this, it is an exciting prospect that you can be free, is it not?
Definitely.
Yes. Thank you for these questions.